The lineup this evening, first we'll be hearing from poet M.L. Liebler, then Terry Langerak will be playing our harp for us, and then finally poet Catherine Rankovic will finish up the evening. Stephen Schreiner will be introducing M.L. Liebler. Stephen?
This is a pleasure for me because M.L. Liebler is a good friend of mine from Detroit, which is where he comes from tonight to be here. M.L. Liebler's poetry is direct, unadorned, and beautifully imagistic. He seems able to say important things in the fewest words. Dealing with political themes, making use of popular culture, bringing together music and poetry, he is rightly called as Ed Sanders of Fugs fame, and that should date some of us, has dubbed him a perf po, or a performance poet. He founded and works with the Magic Poetry Band, with whom he has cut 2 tapes. His writing addresses themes of work, war, love, and grace, and is memorable not only because he delivers it, but because it is utterly believable and convincing. ML is the author of numerous books of poetry, most recently Breaking the Voodoo and Deliver Me. I think we have both of those tonight, along with tapes with the Magic Poetry Band. He's the founding editor of Ridgeway Press. His work has appeared in anthologies dealing with special themes such as the Kent State tragedy and the Gulf War. Recently, he has read at the Poetry Project and the Knitting Factory in New York. In Detroit, he has organized a number of Read and Feed events to assist the homeless. Please welcome M.L. Liebler.
Thank you. Thanks, Stephen. I'm going to do some pieces. I'm a little bit concerned, but I think it should work out okay with some musical or taped accompaniment. We have the little Craig box here, boom box, and I just tested it a little bit, and it seems like, and I hope that you'll let me know if you can hear it back that far. So, and also because I have a big mouth, I'll try really not to, you know, do this and, you know, be really overbearing in that way. So I'm going to start with a couple of performance pieces. The first one will be entitled Exit Back, and then just read some poems without accompaniment, and then Terry, who is going to play harp in the interlude, it will join me for a piece towards the end of the program, so we just kind of work that up. So I'll start with this piece entitled Exit Back. And in fact, if I can just sort of test it, can you hear me okay if I start drifting? Because I'm really not used to this sort of thing here. That's part of my problem here. I'm not one of those kinds of poets that stands in front of a podium too long. I can make a movie about this microphone here. Okay. So this is called Exit Back. Is that okay back there? There's a lot of waiting and sickness balled up and strained through each of our souls. It's like pushing all of our hurt through the eye of a needle. There's always pain waiting with sickness to cover us while we sleep. We count breaths. We count heartbeats, we count sins, and each of these things reminds us just how mortal and just how expendable we really are. Every day, and every night is savage for taking us out back of our souls and whipping us senseless and torturing our sleep deep, 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 deep into the caverns of our dark, dark, dark thoughts. We are sick and we are waiting. We are sick and we are waiting as we die. We are sick and we are waiting as we die. Die in our hearts just to exit back every day, and every night is savage for taking us out back of our souls and whipping us senseless and torturing our sleep deep, deep into the caverns of our dark thoughts. This next piece is entitled Floating, and the music is Jerome Cooper. They worked her into the mud. They beat her head into the sinks and into the tiles of their workhouses. They slit her belly up and dressed her like a deer after the almighty hunt. Now I understand how my mother died in the lie that surrounded her labor, her honest, honest labor that boiled production and brought it all to a head for their profit and for her dead spirit, drained of blood, and no one to cover her white, white bones, and no one to wipe her brow over her sunken eyes. So this is how my mother died. This is how my mother died. Honest work for honest pay. This lie is white hot. This lie is white hot, but it won't burn forever. It won't burn forever in her breast forever. Forever, now my mother flashes before my eyes, working her ass off to maintain her room, her little room, in a project on the east side of Detroit, 1950s, just after my birth. Honest pay for honest work. Honest pay for honest work. This lie can't live. This lie can't live forever, forever, forever. And when she died, and when her ADC check stopped, and when they didn't have to give her money, and when they missed her labor, her cheap, cheap labor, then they remembered her part of their lie. Then they remembered her part of their lie. It keeps forever. It keeps forever. Before my eyes, she flashes, she smolders in their kitchens, in their ovens, in her sweat, in her labor. It won't live. It lives. It won't live. It lives. It won't live. It lives. It won't live forever. It won't live forever. It lives. 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 It lives forever. 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 It won't live. It lives. It won't live. It lives. It won't live. It lives forever. Forever, forever, forever. Thank you very much. That was a piece called Floating. I'm now going to read the title poem of this book here. I suppose there are some things, some references I should tell you about, but I think that you'll... If you haven't heard of the major reference here about McDonald's, it will make sense to you anyway. That's what people tell me. So. All I can say is the McDonald's part is true. This is a true. Everything in here is true, unfortunately. This is called Breaking the Voodoo. I better think about this. I better think about this. Something is happening to me because something is rattling inside me to move my spirit up through the top of my bald head, and it's hot. It's like a volcano burning somewhere between my soul and my pancreas, and I gotta ride it up through my stomach, past my emotions. Quick! light some incense, place it on the altar of my shoulders, fan the flames, this might take a while, get more incense to burn, chant, 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 get a goat! If not a goat, how about some chicken blood? And get some more incense to burn, fan the flame, rip the fur, blow the blood. I'm breaking the voodoo. I'm breaking the voodoo. Tonight's the night. I'm breaking the voodoo. Tonight's the night. I'm breaking the voodoo on everything. I'm breaking the voodoo on McDonald's secret sauce, the one that killed that lady up in Montreal in 1978. I'm breaking the voodoo on all secret negotiations with saucy countries that should be given the secret sauce instead of secret weapons and such. I'm furthermore breaking the voodoo on all families who supply these saucy countries with children to serve in their secret negotiations. May they all experience the secret sauce. Look what happened up in Montreal in 78. And I'm breaking the voodoo on religion. Breaking the voodoo on religion, as it were. I'm breaking the voodoo that says to be a good Christian, you have to support Jim and Tammy or Pat and Danuta or Jerry and Oral or John and Paul, of which, while I'm in this sand on this subject, I'm breaking the voodoo on all rock groups of the 60s who still tour as John, Paul, George, and Ringo didn't. And while I'm in this stanza, I'm breaking the voodoo on Mark David Chapman. Although I am several years late, he is broken and therefore forgiven. In fact, I'm breaking the voodoo on all past, present, and future ass-ins. Let's keep it in perspective and keep your business with politicians. I'm breaking the voodoo on politicians so they don't have to become the victims of ass-ins. Stop pitting folks against each other to lie for you, and people won't need to send ass-ins in to kill you so much. And I'm breaking the voodoo on the KKK. Breaking the voodoo on the KKK. Start doing the right things under those sheets. Come on, you boys aren't Catholic. It's not a sin for you. Now I'm breaking the voodoo on all poets and artists who think their art is such a statement that they don't have to speak. I'm breaking the voodoo on all warring nations. Listen to your souls and pray to your gods. And if nothing happens, so what? At least you have not killed anyone in the time you've spent in search and prayer. And in that case, I break the voodoo on all body counts. I also break the voodoo on arithmetic there. Now you can't count. And I'm breaking the voodoo on all the Afrikaners. You can't have what isn't yours. If your mothers didn't tell you that, then read Winnie's book. I know you can read. You've got all the schools. Learn to break your own voodoos. And I break the voodoos on punks. I break the voodoos and all the punks. I wouldn't mind them if I could trust them not to vote for Republicans. But since I can't trust them, I break their voodoo. I break the voodoo on all older women who forgot to take their calcium when they were young. Straighten up. Straighten up, straighten up, you're free. Well, as free as Republican law allows. And I break the voodoo on the oppression, suppression, repression of women, all women. Let them up, off, and out to be free in a world that owes them everything but fears giving them anything. And I break the voodoo on all machoism for those guys who drive around up and down the streets with their shirts off to impress women on hot summer days. I break the voodoo on all cheap people, on all cheap people who hold paper and coin in such high regard that they'd let their brothers and sisters starve so they can buy the big burgers with the secret sauce that killed the lady in Montreal in 1978. I break the voodoo. I break the voodoo. Tonight's the night. I break the voodoo here in St. Louis, here in Duff's at the River Styx program. I break the voodoo on it all, on it all, on it all tonight. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Now, I hope I don't have to come back here and break the voodoo again. That
should do it.
We only break it once in a while. I'm going to just read a few poems in some way connected to St. Louis. This first poem is a poem that actually I wrote after I had returned from St. Louis the last time I was here. And it's for Stephen Schreiner, who is a great St. Louis poet and teaches at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. And he has inspired me in so many ways. He's formerly from Detroit. And when we were here the last time, we got into a big discussion, and he enlightened me to many aspects of William Carlos Williams. So I went home from that trip and looked out the window, and early in the morning in the city that I live in, and just happened to see this scene, and it just seemed like a William Carlos Williams scene. So it's called Rising Like the Bottom, and I dedicate it to Stephen Schreiner. Through the window, I watched a morning rising slowly like the bottom of a smooth crystal glass. From around the edges, I stared at a leaning ladder, lonely against a tree, crooked to the world, yet more straight than any sun, balancing upon any horizon. Sky as blue as midnight, in so many ways brighter than snow on a morning like this. Doves charm only themselves. A crooked ladder leaning against a tree makes much sense out of beauty. And I would really be remiss if I didn't read this poem to you. I don't know if you people here were or still are as partial to Harry Carey as we in Detroit were to our beloved Ernie Harwell, who was fired by the Tigers organization after 31 years of service. He's in the Hall of Fame as well. Maybe you were glad to get rid of Harry Carey. I don't know. I mean, is there a consensus on this? Do you miss Harry? Yes, some do, some don't. Well, I go to Chicago quite. I shouldn't say that in St. Louis either. I know we can have them. And we get them on the Superstation. And Harry Carey is to me one of the remaining few, like Ernie Harwell, whom I hope you've heard of, or Jack Brickhouse, who used to do the Cubs games before Harry Carey came into play, and Red Barber and so forth. So Harry Carey is, and again, some of you may have cheered that, but you know, a couple years ago he had a heart attack, and did I hear a clap? And then, so this poem makes reference to Harry healing. I happened to be at Wrigley Field the day he came back, and as true with anything in Chicago, they were selling T-shirts on the street, Harry's alive, and a picture of his heart stitched up or something like that. But this is Harry Carey Said So, and it's a baseball poem. And this is a thing that's plaguing me. Two things are plaguing me. I usually like to read, and Ann knows this because we talked, I like to read in major league cities when the team's home. Now, every time I've been to St. Louis, they have not been here. Maybe that's a good sign. Maybe you're glad that they're not here. But to me, it's almost sacrilegious to come to a town with a major league or even a minor league team and not see them play. So this is one of the cities I can say that's true, has been. And the other thing that's plaguing me lately, and I gave these guys their start, is Michael McClure and Ray Manzarek. I don't understand. Everywhere I go, they're there on the same night. You know, I was in Chicago. They were there. And tonight, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but they're playing somewhere around here. And, gee, you give a guy a break and it's Cicero's. They're playing in Cicero. So, but anyway, so those are two things about St. Louis I shall remember. Harry Carey's, and if you're not, I'm just kidding. I opened a program for them, but these guys have been trailing me around the country. Maybe they're in the audience here and there's a hit on me. I don't know. Harry Carey. Did you say your prayers? Did you kiss your mom today? Did you put only mustard on your hot dog? Do you ever think about baseball? Baseball. Some even say holy, holy baseball. A game spread out in a field with infinity as dimensions and folks saying things like racing to the bag, high, hard one, and maybe, maybe, out of here. Did you say your prayers? Baseball. All the ambitions benched, riding the lonesome pine or first string, riding the top, majors and minors, the very life of man made longer by men touching corners and circling diamonds. Did you kiss your mom today? Baseball. Going back, and he makes the catch. Say, holy, holy. See the bleachers filled with life. That's happy, happy life. Moving and swaying together under the sun and moon, screaming from the back, hit the ball. Would you hit the damn ball, you jerk? It's happy. It's holy. Did you put mustard on your hot dog? Baseball. Extra innings all the way. Action to stop the world, to break the records, to fill your space. And it's holy, holy, holy cow. And Harry's healed. And he's come home to breathe life from up there, right up there behind home plate. That's where he fills the pictures with words of youth. Oh, Harry, it's holy, holy. Did you ever think about baseball?
Thanks.
Thank you. So a few Harry Carey somewhat fondly remember here. I guess he left here in 69. He was a hippie. He had to leave, Harry. This is a poem called Bag of Ketchup. Now, I come from a small town that is somewhat Mayberry-esque, and there's a local bijou, a local theater there, and this poem is written about that experience. At this town that I come from, in Detroit, there are little suburbs around it, and every suburb has its own little theater that's named after the suburb. I lived in St. Clair Shores, so there was the Shores, and in Roseville, there was the Roseville, and so on. And in Plymouth, there's the Plymouth, and so on. The Shores went Art Deco. They went Spanish Mediterranean for a couple of years, changed their seriously to the Shores Madrid. I'm still trying to figure out what that was all about. There was a sombrero or something hanging on the wall. They eventually dropped the Madrid and went back to just the Shores. But when I grew up there, there was a Travis Hamburger, and I'm sure you probably have White Castles down here, right? Or Mighty Bite if out in the West. And there was this place that sold these things across the street. And the deal is we would go in and get a bag of French fries. Instead of popcorn, we'd buy a bag of French fries. And we would, which were like 50 cents or 58 cents or whatever with tax, and we'd squirt the ketchup in it and just go into the theater and watch movies and reach our hands into the bag, and, you know, it's kind of messy and so forth, and we'd wipe them off on our jeans. And that's not such a great story, but the image I want to convey to you is you have to now think of that image and then think of 12-year-old boys sitting and doing this while watching Jane Fonda and Barbarella. This is an image that is beholding. This is before movies were rated, so we could pay children's prices to get in to see Jane Fonda. Then they started with the X and the R and all that, and the jig was up. But this was a great sensation to see Jane Fonda and Barbarella. This is before she went to Hanoi, and we'd put our hands into this bag and see her floating around and having sex with her fingers, and this was quite a turn-on. So this is where the bag of ketchup thing comes from. The other point of this story, just to mention briefly, is you'll hear me make reference to taking a shot in my heel or a bullet in my heel. I lived on a street with a guy who was way ahead of Manson in mass murder type of techniques, and this is a true story. He may be in the audience. I watch wherever I go. Because once I got on an airplane to go do a reading in Chicago, and he got on that plane, and it was very early in the morning, and he was going to Chicago for pizza. I mean, he's still, you know, just flying there, having pizza, and coming back. It's like 7 in the morning flight. But this guy really did. He for some reason, he knew I was a poet or wanted to be, and he was going to take care of that. And he would shoot guns at me. He would chase me out of his house. His dad was like a Nazi or a former SS guy or something. He had all these guns. Chase me out and shoot. And one time in particular where my foot had been in, my boot had been in the snow, there was a bullet heel there. And so forth. When I'd come home from the school dances, I'd be walking down the street at dark, and I'd hear from behind a thing, and I'd go, "Oh shit!" And I'd start running, and boom! You know, he'd let off with the gun, and he even tried back then. But this is how smart he wasn't. He tried to kill me with a chainsaw, like before this massacre murder movie stuff. I mean, he was not impressioned by this. This was terrible. But he had a plug-in one. This is true. And so he could come at me and you know, what the fuck? You know, he didn't quite. So I make reference to him here. And but I heard he became an insurance man and then had several heart attacks. And I think enough said. And he was hospitalized for mental problems, thank God. And so this is the story behind it. Bag of ketchup. Here's the scene. In the foreground, there's a burst of color as loud as life. On the one hand, I can hardly look at it, yet on the other, my eyes stick like glue. I can't pull the life away from my vision. It is hung out and lined up forever. The reflection is a glowing prism. It's like a spaceship that I can remember seeing in a cheap movie while sitting in a darkened Shores theater with a big brown bag full of French fries smothered in ketchup leaking through the bag and staining my pant leg. I have since thought about that brown bag. If I had it now to hold in my hand, I would neatly fold it like a flower and place it into a Bible. but I don't have that bag, and I don't have a Bible, but I believe I still have the Spirit. I believe I caught it in a dream recently. I can remember caressing the feeling and pressing it into the pages of my thoughts. I pushed it hard and deep. But someday, like a burst of life, I know it will rush hot through my veins and it will show itself right then and there. You just wait and see. Maybe I'll scrape my knee on cement somewhere. Maybe I'll cut my finger with a fish hook. Or maybe I'll take a bullet in my heel. But you just wait and see. If as soon as the air hits my blood, if it don't turn into a bag of ketchup in a theater in a small town, and like a flickering image on a screen, I will disappear, leaving the smell of grease and a small burst of life to settle like a worn cloud into the fabric of a ragged old theater chair. Thank you. I definitely want to, you know, abide by my time. I want to read a serious poem, a fairly recent one. What happened, and I would advise you if this has not happened to you yet, I went to a class reunion. Don't go to these. These are not healthy. I mean, in school 20 years ago, I had long hair, dark hair, and I was about 130 pounds. I thought I would get the least likely changed award. Nobody knew me, you know. It was like that kind of thing. But nonetheless, and that was sort of humorous. But it's a real depressing thing. In fact, watching these Phil Levine videos today, Phil made mention of this thing where a certain thing had happened to him, and he fell asleep, and he had this dream that he woke up and felt terrible about, and then he had to remind himself it was a dream. And this happened to me. I went to my class reunion, and I had a reading the next day in Cincinnati, so I didn't have much time to take it all in and so forth, and just left. I went down. I had this more or less the dream that I somewhat describe here, but you know, it, unfortunately, a dream, but it feels like it was reality. And this is called A Dream of Life I Once Was, and the epigraph is, "Goodbye, Drunken Ghost," which was Allen Ginsberg's final words to Jack Kerouac after they left the William Buckley Show and just before Kerouac died. One Ohio morning, I awoke to a dream of life that had its murky beginnings long before I was born. Distant, far beyond what I could fully recall, were old friends, friendships I had nurtured like small lambs with the milk of childhood. Somehow my dreams, my life, moved and exploded into 1,000 different philosophies, directions, ideas. I became tangled in the web of my own memories, and I lost the grip on my old friends. Friendships I forced weaned, but I did more. I did worse. I forgot them. I forgot them. I left them. I never returned until I was too far beyond, too late and too far from those days of innocent child play. But I've grown just enough to hear the bellowing from my ghost friends' whispers. Their faint voices tell me to put my ear against the giant seashell of a backyard and to listen. It will sound like the sea of yourselves, their voices rolling in and out, sounding the pumping of my own heart.
Let that be a warning.
Thanks. Let that be a warning to your class reunion. Because the dream was, as one of my friends had overdosed, as you know, many of them had at that time, and I had the dream that his brother, his twin brother, came up to me and said, and I went back after the reunion in the dream, and because I felt bad, I had learned this that night, and I went back, and I had this, the terrible dream was his brother came, I came, and I said, like, kind of, hi, I've come to see how your family's doing or whatever, and he just said, you know, aren't you a little late for that? And that was the inspiration for that. This is a poem called Morrissey. Morrissey, for those who don't know, was the lead singer of a group called The Smiths. And The Smiths I'm very fond of. I don't want people to misunderstand this poem. But Morrissey, I just happened to catch a glimpse of him on TV, and he looks different. He looks like a half-haircutted Elvis with titty-high pants on or something. I just didn't get it. And then I thought this guy was too hip. He moaned a lot and pissed and moaned a lot. But now he's fashionable, And I hear him in every record store in Detroit that I was going into. So I had to use poor Morrissey as the metaphor for this poem. So well, I am knocking him a little bit, but I'm more knocking, as you'll hear here, a little. So if you're real a Morrissey fan, which many of my students are, then maybe you can put your fingers in your ears and hum a little bit. And I'll wave like this when it's over. I'm going to cut all my hair on one side of my head off and puff up the other side real high, looking like a cross between Elvis and G.I. Blues and Freddie Flintstone on TV. Next, I, too, am going to put so many earrings in one of my two ears so I can look like John Wayne's boot and Rooster Cogburn. Cool as all this were, I, too, am going to sing some moaning songs about pissing on the future of postmodern fate, disguise myself as a new beginning, call it cyber, spaced out, junk bond, puked up, Scooby-Dude, surrealistic, plastic pillow of sleeping dogs lying endless, blackout. I want lots of black stuff, boots, little silver chains that jingle, jangle, jingle, cool, so you know I don't belong to any subgroup, supergroup, political, social, philosophical, or otherwise. I'm just making money, lots of it, money, moaning, viva hate, and up your nose with a rubber hose. And I'm moving here towards the completion of this. I just wanted to read one poem I stuck in here, just, you know. This is called Rock and Roll. I've thought about the many nights of rock and roll I've spent in my youth hardcore. My grandmother taught me how to rock. She hummed Elvis while she hemmed my pants. She liked Elvis. She liked him so much that she bought me a black leather jacket with zippers and motorcycle hat like Marlon Brando's that really pissed Mrs. Taylor off. She kicked me out of first grade. She said I'd be a bad influence on those other kids. I didn't like those snotty-nosed kids anyway. They couldn't rock like Grandma. True story, true story. I lie not to you. Now comes the part of the participation part of the show here. Particular poem, keep doing it. You do that and I'm going across the street for a drink. No, and people looking in are, what the hell? Hey, it's performance art, man. You know. This is a poem called Listen to the Stars, and all you have to do is just do what I do. When I go fast, you go fast. When I slow down, you... But keep the tone going, okay? Listen to the stars. Shh. Quiet. Listen to the stars. They talk softly. Don't they talk softly? Listen as their beams pass lightly over the lawns in our neighborhoods of silence, behind the doors, the seemingly broken doors, folded into the prayers, the seemingly broken prayers. Is the silence of God rising slowly above the stars' beams to create a soft sense of peace within us and within the world's wicked soul? Now keep it going. Keep it going. I forgot to change the tape here. You're all being recorded. You're on my next tape. And I'm going to segue here. And you keep doing this because you'll see how nicely this fits with the music. Keep your arm up there. I can do it. You can do it. This is called Pitching Shoes. This is off the new tape. Oh, I love it. Play lead. I must be mad. You must be mad. I must be mad tonight. I must be drunk, running out in half circles to the boathouse to stand on top of the day-warm shingles and to transform myself into a giant conch shell. I'm going to build my energy level up high and let my vision whine out like steam. I'm looking for tonight, and I'm going to find everything. Everything tonight, I promise. Out there in the dark, I'll come to terms and balance the universe and the fulcrum of my soul. Out there in the dark, someone's pitching horseshoes, round golden stakes, waiting for me. Waiting for me, knowing I will change from man to hauling conch. And like the horseshoe stars, I will fall to the horizon only to create two more stars to ring the darkness. That's just the way it is tonight. That's just the way it is tonight. Out there in the stars of the darkness, someone's pitching horseshoes, round golden stakes, waiting for me, knowing I will change from man to hauling conch, and like the horseshoe stars, I will fall to the horizon, only to create two more stars to ring the darkness. That's just the way it is tonight. That's the way it is tonight. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. The bartender said all those people waving those things like fools get free doubles drinks. No, did I? Does that come out of the River Styx? Okay. I'm going to be joined now by Terry. We only know each other on a first name basis because we met 5 minutes ago, and we're going to do a piece here. Called Decoration Day. This is a poem that's dedicated to Dennis Manning, who was the first boy from St. Clair Shores to die in the Vietnam War, which, as I was telling Steve on the way over here, at the age of 11, changed my life. But I'm going to try to put that piece, final piece, back in place this summer when I go to Washington. So this is for Dennis Manning. Decoration Day. A couple of days after the news reached the States, his mother's heart broke. Never to mend itself, with his last breaths he took his family and friends hostage into the darkness of the world's sin. And there's no turning back the clocks. They cannot be adjusted to read the present time when the future has died alone somewhere in another place. And the newspapers will write about it, and the TV will talk about it, but no one will ever tell this story the way it really happened, the way it was supposed to happen in a town, in a life, somewhere unknown. And this business of murder bruises each rising sun above every American town, towns that were never more than small dots on small maps routing death to innocent lives that will be forever lost in the rapid fire of the jungle night. And just because everyone can't believe it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because everyone didn't see it doesn't make it untrue. Because everyone hurts doesn't make it stop. Because after 20 years, they'll have forgotten doesn't mean you ever existed. Because you did live doesn't mean you'll remain a memory forever. Because it is. And you can't reappear for the benefit of the few who doubted all along. Injustice is the law here, dear boy, here where you grew up, where you dreamed, not where you died, not where they took you, laid you out, neatly uniformed, placed you in the funeral home of the Far East. The whole thing planned to the smallest detail, except for your mother's broken heart.